Thank you all so much for coming this morning, and thanks so much for everyone's words of encouragement in standing up here. It's a first for me, and it feels very comfortable, and I thank you all who've made that possible. Especially thanks to Neil Bartholomew and to Betty Finn, because without their help in shaping today's service, I'd still be staring at a blank computer screen. And I have a few things to say today, and it's mostly because they helped me on my way. It's also so wonderful to have this incredible music today. I think you can't ever give enough applause to the musicians. So please, let's have one more round of applause for Atwater Diamond and for Greg Moses. Their music is about connection, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Their music is about how people in very intimate settings connect with one another and express themselves. And so I really appreciate it as a backdrop for what I'm going to say now. So today we're going to talk about empathy. Why? Because empathy fuels connection and relationship. Practiced with authenticity and courage, it can be a superpower, one that heals and leads to progress and positive change. We're also talking about empathy today because it can be so hard to come by. It's often missing from our public discourse and our everyday lives, too. That's why the quote on the front of today's order of service is so important to me. Let me explain that. The philosopher and writer Roman Krznaric tells us, empathy is the art of stepping imaginatively into the shoes of another person, understanding their feelings and perspectives, and using that understanding to guide your actions. Please notice a few things. First, empathy is an act of imagination and creativity. I think that's really important. Next, stepping into another's shoes requires that we search inside our own feelings and experiences, and that we avoid judging the other person. Because if we do it the other way around, we won't form a real connection. Finally, you haven't really completed the empathetic cycle or circle until and unless you communicate it back. This is because the whole thing of empathy, the whole reason we are neurologically hardwired for it, is because it's about reinforcing the connections that we have, making them stronger, and strengthening our bonds. So you can't keep empathy to yourself or let it just live in your head. Now about that Maya Angelou quote. Here it is. They will forget what you said, they will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. I had never heard this quote until it was literally given to me on a piece of red construction paper when I was working at City Year in Providence. As many of you know, City Year serves in Providence Public Schools, putting teams of committed, idealistic young adults in full-time service as role models and mentors for the students to help them learn and grow. City Year has an amazing organizational culture, and empathy is at the heart of that culture. When I received this quote, it was something I needed to hear. Once it was in my heart, the quote came back to me all the time. Initially, I took it as a cue to get out of my head and make sure I had connected with the person right in front of me. Chewing on it for a while, though, I came to see Maya Angelou's words as a challenge to find greater connection in all my relationships. From the reading I did today to prepare, I learned that neurologically speaking, as I've already said, we are all wired for empathy. Animals are even wired for empathy. So we've all got it in us. Some of us are naturally more gifted than others, probably the animals. And everyone can really learn these skills and use them to enrich their relationships. So, because we can all build our capacity and skill for making connections, how do we keep in mind that our impact in many situations boils down to how we made the other person feel? And how can we use that notion to help us step into the shoes of another? Well, I thought this morning one way to do that would be to use this beautiful poem from Naomi Shihab Nye. I have to look at her name every time. It's in your order of service. It's a separate little insert. Maybe you want to pull it out now so we can. Here we go. So to go deeper into this, how this can work, I want to read this poem together with you. And a word about Naomi Shihab Nye. We've heard her words here before many times. She's extraordinarily gifted at observing the way people do connect with one another across all kinds of experiences. And I really loved this poem because it tells in just a few stanzas four great little stories that I'm going to read and comment on and hope you'll come along with me in a journey of the imagination. So, here we go. "Dear Abby," said someone from Oregon, "I'm having trouble with my boyfriend's attachment to an ancient gallon of milk, still full in his refrigerator. I told him it's me or the milk. Is this unreasonable?" The speaker asks Dear Abby for a ruling on whether it's reasonable to end a relationship over a gallon of spoiled milk that just can't seem to be thrown away. It's a little funny, but imagine the pain that person feels at feeling ignored to such a degree. Imagine not being seen by someone whom you are just beginning to build a life with. Or maybe the circumstances are very different here, and we should be imagining that this person's reached the conclusion that they need to end a relationship because a habit or behavior has overwhelmed and choked out all the love that was supposed to create a home filled with joy and understanding. Also, who are you in this story? I know I've been each person. I've been Dear Abby. It's really easy to be the critic or the judge or the person who gives unsolicited advice. But in my experience, it's much harder to hold both your empathy and your sense of self as one half of a couple. And it's so easy to take your partner for granted. 2. Dear Carolyn, my brother won't speak to me because 50 years ago I whispered a monkey would kidnap him in the night and take him back to his true family. But he should have known it was a joke when it didn't happen, right? Don't you think? This speaker shows us, at best, an example of the great 21st century sin of cluelessness. And at worst, shows us the corrosive effect of bullying. My imagination takes me to a little brother. I have a little brother. I might have done this to him. My imagination takes me to a little brother who has built a wall that has lasted 50 years. It started as a defensive protection from bullying that really seemed to be an existential threat and is now the foundation for a dysfunctional family relationship that will lead nowhere good unless perhaps the older sister is able to wake up and recognize how she made her brother feel and ask for his forgiveness and be prepared to be held to account. Unless the veil of her cluelessness is lifted, she'll always wonder why they aren't close. Dear Board of Education, no one will ever remember a test. Repeat. Stories, poems, projects, experiments, mischief, yes, but never a test. Good teachers know that kids learn and grow and take risks when they make connections. And they know that learning is not about the test. I want us to imagine the courage it took for this teacher to challenge the Board of Education. Her plea, hey, don't reduce my students to one data point when they are so much more and deserve so much more from all of us. 4. Dear dog behind the fence, you really need to calm down. You've been barking every time I walk to the compost for 2 years, and I have not robbed your house. Relax. When I asked the man on the other side if you bother him too, he smiled and said no. He makes me feel less alone. Should I be worried more about the dog or the man? So finally, what is our empathetic approach to the barking dog, so filled with fear or bad training that every movement makes him anxious? And what to make of the man for whom the constant noise is a sign that he's not alone? For me, it's hardest to consider or imagine the feelings or backstory of someone who I don't understand. But it is when we meet people different from us that we need to tap our curiosity and imagination the most. If we ever want the dog to calm down, we need to be patient and curious and find a connection with him that he'll respond to and understand. Likewise, I think we're called to find a way to connect with the guy who's so lonely that he feels the barking dog to be a comfort. There's no question but that this is what we are called to do. But who manages to really do it every time? Who slows down enough to take that time and make that connection? It's hard, and for me, it's still too often an aspiration. So we've just taken a few minutes to practice the kind of creative, imaginative perspective taking that is the starting point for an empathetic response. Let me recommend Maya Angelou's words as a kind of North Star in the very confusing and wearying snippets of life that can challenge our empathy and make it seem so hard to do. Consider this: throwing away a gallon of milk, making amends for bullying a child, actually using empathy to make sure schools value and understand how students truly learn, and training the dog are all things that would improve the world, helping everyone in this poem to thrive. Every day, each of us has the chance to show up in this way for someone we encounter. In UU terms, cultivating greater empathy is one way to express our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. They will never forget how you make them feel. Thanks for listening.